Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
I always pray for my mom, right? I always pray for her every night. And some I'm confused kasi, like, do I say, "Hi, Ma, I love you and I miss you," or do I say, "God, please tell Mama that I love her and I miss her"? My fiance he's Christian, and they don't believe in purgatory, right? So when I tell him na, you know, I pray for my mom to get to heaven, he always tells me, no, she's already there.
What happens to the people in the afterlife? They're in this place, what's called like a waiting period. Now, it's similar to what you could think of as purgatory, but it's not a place that you work off your sins. There's no working off your sins in that sense. If anything, it's a place where you learn off your sins. It's a place where you learn the word. And this is why anybody that dies in any place in the world that has never heard of Jesus in the afterlife, they will have an opportunity. The truth will be given to them.
I mean, I guess at this point, this kind of seems like the magic reunion on the Narrow Door podcast. And if you're thinking that, you would not be wrong. We have with us today a friend of ours back from our radio days. She's still at the station. Tina and I are not. She does the morning show over at Magic. Not only that, she is the co-host on the podcast called The Weak Sauce with our friend Ricky. She also hosts a show on the NBA YouTube channel called NBA on Fire. She's like one of very few girls that I know who actually talks sports as well. Tin Gamboa, come on in the Narrow Door podcast. Hi, Tin.
Love how you, I felt the pause. Were you going to say welcome back or welcome? I have been here before.
You know what? Yeah.
We have to tell them the story.
We absolutely have to. Yes. But instructor Aaron Russo is here. Yes, me I too. Know. It'll be new to you. And Tina too. That's right. So we have to, because there's a bit of a backstory here, right?
Yes.
Our listeners don't know that this is your second time on the Narrow Door podcast. It's your first time to hear her and see her if you're watching us on YouTube, but this is her second go around on the podcast. She was here something like maybe a year ago or something.
2020. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's two now.
November.
2 years. Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. And she wanted to talk about purgatory, which we will get to today. And at that time, we were recording on StreamYard when we would have a guest and we would have a producer with us. And so we recorded the whole thing. It was going to go to edit, and he got into like a little situation where his laptop got mangled or something, and he just, we lost a file. And so that episode never made it to air. But she's back.
I'm a little relieved that it didn't, because I was, Sam, I was a mess. It was an hour long. I was crying for 55 minutes of it. No, I was a complete
she
mess.
Cried.
I didn't cry. I was crying the whole time.
And this, I mean, for the same reason, I'm so sad that it didn't make it to air, because I don't know, for some reason, like I really love it when our guests get emotional and, you know, they just open up about these things. And, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe you'll cry today. Maybe you won't, but
I would not be surprised if I do, Sam.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if I didn't cry.
But how have you been? I know that, you know, the Weak Sauce, the show that you guys do with Ricky, a lot going on down there. You guys are really active into, you know, campaigning for Lenny Robredo right now. Super busy. What's going on with you?
I am in a much better place than I was when I was first here. So I'm happy to report. but I was really in a very, very dark place when I was first here on your podcast. But I have since, I don't know, I guess I healed from most of the traumas that I was going through at that time. Now I saw a tweet just today. Sabi, it said, parang, anyone else here a completely different person than they were in 2019? Like, unrecognizable. I was like, I feel so seen. Because that's me. Like, when I look at pictures and videos of myself from, you know, pre-pandemic days, I'm like, who is she? Who is that girl? I don't know. And maybe last year, 2021, when I would look back, I'd be sad. And I'd say, I miss her. You know, she was so fun. She was no care in the world. You know, she was so happy. I miss her. because at the time I was in a dark place. But now, when I look back at those pictures, those videos, I'm like, oh yeah, she was cool. But you know who I am now is cool too.
Mm-hmm.
I like me yeah. now. I actually like
we
myself.
We like you a lot
right now. Oh, yeah. I love you very much. I used to be. I was very. You know, I was immature, selfish, and yeah. But I grew up a lot in the pandemic, I would say. I really did. I don't recognize the person from 2019 anymore. And in a good way. Not wow. like, you know, looking back in maybe like mid-2021, I would say, I don't recognize her because she's so happy and I'm so miserable, you know. Mm. But now I'm like, I'm happy too in a different way, you know. And I look at you, you were the kid me. Good for you. You were having fun at the time, but I like myself now as well.
Ooh, how did that transition happen? I mean, what happened in, you know, for you to become this new version that you are today?
A lot of it really is my relationship with God.
There we go. Here we go. Main event. Narrador Podcast. All right.
I've always had a very, very good relationship with him. You know, there was a time. Okay, so I lost my mom in 2018. And after I lost her, I stopped reading the Bible for a year.
Oh.
But I would pray at night and then I would tell God, Lord, sorry, hindi ko pa kaya. I can't fully go back yet. But I'm here, you know, I didn't forget you.
Hmm.
I just can't. I can't yet. I can't read your word yet, but I will get there. I would tell him that every night. Promise, Lord, I'll come back. Because prior to that, the last time I read the Bible was the night before my mom passed. Because at that time, I would read every night before I sleep. Every night. I would read, would pray every night, no fail. And then when my mom passed, I don't know why. I think a small part of me felt betrayed by him. How could you do this to me? The worst thing you could do to me, you know? But that was a small part. And that's why I kept reassuring him. So weird of me. Saying, I am not mad at you, ha. I'll come back. I just can't right now. And then when I did, I remember this very clearly. 2020, start of the pandemic, it was... Okay, so 2018, I lost my mom. Early 2019, my dad had a stroke. So it was really just bam, bam, bam. One after the other, yes. And then Holy Week, Good Friday of 2020. Super lockdown, super, super lockdown. My brother lives in San Juan. I live in the south. And my dad was asleep at 3:00. My family, super Catholic. Every Holy Week, we'd be together either at home or some beach, right? And every 3 p.m. ng Good Friday, we would pray the rosary.
Mm.
And then it was like 2:45, Good Friday. And I was trying to find someone to pray the rosary with me. And voila, there was no one. Because my dad was sick. He was asleep. My mom was not with us anymore. My brother was far away. And I was alone. And that was crushing. Talagang crushing. Because that was the first time I really felt like I had no one. And what do you do when you have no one? Diba? You try your best to find someone. And who was there for me? It was him. He was the one I reached out to. No one else. Because literally no one else could understand what I was going through. And that's when I started reading the Bible again. When you talked to me, Sam, the last time, our family driver of like 30 years had just passed away.
Yeah.
And he was family talaga. Family. Family. I loved him. He was like a second dad to me. Ganon si Ricky. I loved him so much. He was really family. And that was why when I was on Sam, I was a mess.
Yeah, you were very emotional. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna cry now.
It's okay, Tita girl, I'm okay now. But that was really, that was so dark because I felt, I was already picking myself back up. And then you knock me down again. Alam mo yon? And then that was the time na we talked about purgatory, Sam, right? Because I was fresh from another loss, you know? And I wanted reassurance that he was okay, that he was in heaven. I wanted also reassurance that my mom was in heaven. And that's why I was crying for 55 minutes of the 1 hour interview with you guys.
Wow.
So Instructor Aaron, this is gonna be a 2 hour episode of crying.
Rough. That's a lot to come back from, Tin.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
A little bit.
It's amazing that you made it this far. Instructor Aaron, I mean, you are a Bible instructor now, and you've been teaching the Bible for 15 years. And I mean, when we talk to you and we hear everything that you have to say and just how solid you are in the faith, like, you know, it makes me wonder, was there ever a time when you also felt kind of like this, like God betrayed you, or, oh, how could you do this to me? You know, did you ever go through that in your life? Because you seem so solid now.
Well, I'm very thankful that, you know, my closest, you know, my father, my mother, they're still with me. All my grandparents have passed on. So that's the first experiences that I had, you know, growing up with that kind of thing. And my stepfather passed away a few years ago. That was really hard, mostly for my mother, of course. You know, I was close to him, but, you know, it's hard to watch other people go through that pain and things like that. Growing up, I didn't really focus too much on the Bible. I kind of left like organized religion, if you will, for a long time, just because I wasn't happy with the way things were in organized religion. I didn't like the way that they would treat each other in a lot of ways. So it was very kind of interesting what Tin was saying. Like I didn't really read the Bible as a child ever. I mean, it was more of a scary book as a child, but I would always pray to God. But instead of really praying, it was more like just talking to him. I remember laying in bed and just like every night laying in bed, but just more like just talking to God and just wondering, like always thinking there's something there. You know, there's gotta be something there. But there's been times in my life where, you know, when the first show that I was on here, when we had, you know, Mo Twister, when he was on.
Of course, yes.
And the questions that he was asking, they're questions that we all have. And they're questions that I even, you know, had a lot growing up as well. Like, why does God allow this to happen? Why is there so much pain and suffering? It's just so common. I mean, obviously, because we're dealing with that. We're dealing with all this pain and suffering. And there's really no way of understanding why these things are taking place until you understand really what God has designed. You know, Sam, you've mentioned it multiple times in the past, like this design of salvation, right? This, you know, plan that he has. Once you understand that, then you can start to kind of almost have sympathy for God. It's weird. It's like, instead of blaming God for these negative things happening, or God, why did you allow this to happen? Instead, it's almost like, you know, God is there with you. He's feeling that pain with you. It's not that he wants those things to happen, you know? And when you really start to look at it in a point of view from God's point of view, where he's had to watch the thing he loves the most, right? The thing he loves the most, he's had to watch go through suffering, even his own son.
Here we go.
His own son,
oh,
you know?
Damn.
I'm sorry. I was going to,
no, please,
I was going to say, I'm going to try not to make you cry. But I understand. No, I understand. And then when you feel like that, when you realize that, you know, that God's going through that, I started to feel, especially after learning everything that I've learned, right? I started to feel almost pity for God, if you will, like a not in a bad way. Oh, you know, God is so pitiful, nothing like that. But more like, I'm so sorry that he's had to go through this. And I'm so sorry that God has had to deal with our, you know, ignorance and our betrayal time and time again. And as a result of that, we're still dealing with this death. You know, if they had done things properly in the past, and of course, we're meant to learn from these things, right? We're meant to learn what they did wrong so that we don't do it again. But if they had done things right in the past and had actually followed God's commands, God could have solved the problem of death and suffering a long time ago. But because we are still ignorant, we're still going through all that. When there's the greed, there's the selfishness, the devil's in the world, he's causing all this, that source of evil still exists. So we're still working towards that plan. But God has a meticulous, detailed plan that he's been working on. It's so fragile. It's so perfect. And we have to realize that God, if God is what God is, if he is this being that is so full of love, that is, you know, so intelligent, you know, obviously he's going to have a plan better than what I can think of. And we may be able to look at it and say, oh, I see these flaws in God's plan. Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? You know, and then you start to realize, wow, what am I saying? Like, do I honestly think that I could think of a better plan than God? You know, but does that help people when they, you know, feel that loss, when they're in that loss at this moment? It's, I don't think anything can help somebody, you know, overcome that feeling of loss. But what I realize about the afterlife, and this is what's helped me the most, what I realize about the afterlife, what I know for an absolute fact in my heart, my mind, my spirit, everything, what I know is absolute fact about the afterlife, it makes me realize I haven't lost them. I just don't see them right now. And that's it. Like, I honestly, they're just like in another room. It's like someone that you love just in another room. They're in another place. Oh, who's that little cutie in the background?
I know, there's
that's Pablo.
Donkey.
He's my boy.
Pablo.
Oh, my guy.
What a cutie.
Pablo, I'm going to have you soon on help. The show with your mom, okay?
Yeah. I love that. Just the
crying.
It caught me off guard, you know? It caught me off but knowing that and realizing that, you know, they're not gone. They really literally are not gone. They're just in a place that we're not physically together yet, but our spirits are together, you know, that, and you can always remember that, you know, it's like writing a letter to someone that's overseas or something like that. You're there with them in the words or in your memories and things like that. And there will be a time that we will be together again. And I know that with an absolute 100% fact, because of what I've seen and heard, knowing what's happening today, knowing that God is fulfilling his work, it proves without any doubt in my heart or mind that God exists. And if God exists, then the afterlife exists. If the afterlife exists, then our spirits exist. Everything's connected. And so it helps me to realize that even though we've lost them in this physical world, they're still there. And so it doesn't help, because you still miss them, right? And of course, it's us that's left behind that are going through the hardships. It's not them, right? They're not the ones that are in pain anymore. It's us. It's our, you know, it's our sadness, our loneliness. You know, we want to be with them. We want to physically touch them. You know, when I moved away from my kids for the first time, that was torture for me, because I love being around them, seeing them with my own eyes, feeling them, but realizing what's in the afterlife. And this will help us when we talk about, you know, of course, the afterlife in the future. But so all that, the only thing that really helped me was really learning what I know now, with it, just knowing without any doubt whatsoever that it exists. Because if you have even that little bit of doubt, that's where that fear, that scariness, that uncertainty comes from. Like, what if, right? What if there's, but when that's gone, it's gone. And you have that absolute like strength and believe in God. It's really amazing, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm really sorry that you had to go through, you know, a lot of that. I know that you went through it, and now I'm sure, like you said, you're a better person as a result, and you can probably help people that have gone through those things that nobody else can, you know. Does that mean it was worth it? I'm not going to say it is at all, but, you know, you seem like a really, you know, amazing person as a result of it. So, you know.
The afterlife. Yeah. Let's talk about that, because purgatory would be in the realm of the afterlife. But before we get to that, I mean, you know, Tin, after having heard what Instructor Aaron said, you know, how do you feel now?
These are things that I have also thought, and because when I talk to him, of course, I don't talk to him loud, because that would be odd. So I talk to him from my, and these are things that I talk to him about. You know, sometimes I apologize. I'm so sorry. I say, God, I think I have undiagnosed ADHD. I'm so sorry if I'm jumping from topic to topic. But yeah, these are things that I have discussed with him. And sometimes, though, like, I always pray for my mom, right? I always pray for her every night. And I'm confused, because, like, do I say, hi, Ma, I love you and I miss you? Or do I say, God, please tell Mama that I love her and I miss her? Mm. These are things that I'm not sure of yet, you know? And same thing with praying for the dead. Because my fiance he's Christian, and they don't believe in purgatory, right? So when I tell him na, you know, I pray for my mom to get to heaven, he always tells me, no, she's already there. I know it for a fact. Your mom is already there. But then there's a part of me that's like, what if she's not? And what if she needs me? You know, what if she needs me to pray for her so she can get there? So it's kind of like, you know how, you know, I'm not superstitious, but I'd rather not pass under a ladder, you know? I'd rather not break glass, you know, lest I, you know, 7 years of bad luck. So it's kind of like that. Like, I hope she's already there. I kind of feel like she's already there, but just in case she's not.
Right.
Yet, yeah. I will pray for her every night to help. And then my fiance Pao said, do you really think that's how it works? Do you really think that you have the power to send people to heaven? So napaisip to know. I was like, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. So that is still something I'm very confused and conflicted about. Because I grew up Catholic my whole life. He is he's Christian. So we don't fight, you know, we have discussions, but they're never heated. It's always, okay, these are the things you believe, these are the things I believe. And they're not always too far apart, to, you know, not super different, but there are differences. Yeah. And I think one of the biggest ones would have to be purgatory.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
So we always have, he always assures me that she's already there. Right. Stop stressing yourself. Your mom, Ricky, they're there. They're waiting for you. You know, you don't have to stress anymore.
Yeah.
But so that's Catholic, still a question.
As a Catholic, that'd be hard because that's one of the core doctrines, you know, so that'd be hard to just let that go. Yeah.
And I think I asked this before on the show too, Sam, right? Is purgatory ever mentioned in the Bible?
It is not a word in the Bible.
Well, it depends on which, by and how you want to describe it. It's not in the canonized version of the Bible. And I knew that this would probably come up, you know, obviously we got to talk about, you know, the differences, but there are things about the afterlife that are very important to talk about when it comes to our faith as well, what we believe in Shinshinji, which is different than, you know, obviously it's going to be different than what the average Protestant believes too. Different than Catholicism as well. But it is mentioned, there is like where they get the prayers from for the dead is in like the Maccabees, I believe, where it talks about praying for the dead.
Yes. And, I looked this up just to, you know, look at her. Something for the episode.
Homework,
Second
girl.
Maccabees chapter
you got it. You
got to
do the homework, right? What was that again?
Say, I'm sorry.
Second Maccabees chapter 12. It's about praying for the dead. But Instructor Erin, just to clarify, right?
Yeah.
Because I think there are people like this whose argument will be, but the word itself, purgatory, verbatim, you don't find it in the Bible, right?
Yeah, there's not that I know of as far as like that word, but they talk about, you know, what happened. The whole concept comes from this simple little weird understanding. Okay. And this is something that all Christians can believe in, that Jesus is our savior. And it's through his sacrifice and his blood that we are forgiven of our sins. And we cannot go to heaven unless our sins are forgiven, right? That's redemption. That's salvation. That's everything. And it's through faith that we're saved. Faith in what? Of course, Jesus, right? Not just as a person, but everything he did, right? The teachings he gives, the sacrifice he made, and the promises and prophecies for the second coming as well. So the question becomes, okay, when did Jesus die? Right? He died 2000 years ago. But there's been 4,000 years of people living before Jesus came. So how do they receive salvation? Either they don't, and then you believe in a God that is so ruthless that he waited 4,000 years to even offer it. That doesn't sound right. Or some people say, well, they were given this ability to receive it through the sacrifices that they made. But then Hebrews makes it clear that's not true because it says no blood of bulls or animals can take away the sin, right? That's why Jesus had to come. And even if they did, then why would you kill your only son if it wasn't necessary? That doesn't seem like the God that we believe in either, right? He just killed his son just because, right? Just so what happens to those people that came before Jesus lived and died on the cross? And also, and this was something from a previous episode, right? What happens to those people that never have heard of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And they die, or the children that die before they have an opportunity to hear about Jesus. there has to be an answer for that, right? So the answer in the Catholic faith, and, you know, Tin, maybe you can, you know, head this up, because I'm not the expert in the Catholic faith. You know, I know little bits and pieces, but that's where purgatory came in. But there's purgatory, and there's also something called limbo. Limbo is a little different. Yeah, it's a little different, Huh. But yeah, if you want to maybe talk about maybe what you understand about it, and then we can go from there.
Limbo, I know.
I didn't know.
Limbo rock.
Limbo rock.
And this girl was out ballroom dancing yesterday, you know. Limbo,
right? I'm like, I did not know that. Wow. Okay.
What I know of limbo is that, okay, this is from super Sunday school of my youth, where unbaptized babies go. Yeah, that's what I remember limbo to be. Am I right, Dr. Aaron?
Yeah, there's two concepts. Some, and this is where Catholicism actually doesn't agree in a lot of ways too. They're split in many, like either whether it's Eastern Orthodox or it's, you know, the Roman Catholic, things like that. They don't even agree fully on purgatory as well. Some consider it like a physical place, others not. Others say there's like a fire there, but it's not fire of hell. It's more of a purifying style. Uh-huh. And those are all the people that didn't really believe in Jesus, but, and they're in purgatory, and they still have original sin. They have to work off the original sin. They have to work off those kinds of sins, things like that. Then you have limbo, and limbo is a place that people don't go directly to heaven. They're people that died for Christ, but they still are in this place waiting, this waiting period until the ultimate judgment. And so it's referred to as like Abraham's bosom, you know, because Abraham was from the Old Testament. He died, but why would God send Abraham, Moses, Elijah? Why would he send them, you know, to hell without receiving, you know, salvation, right? So then there's this limbo. Now, some people don't believe in limbo that is available for children, like the babies that have not been baptized. And that, you know, that has caused controversy as well. So how do you bring all this together, right? How do you justify all this and make it where it makes sense, you know, as far as a Christian's concerned? So one of the things that I'm really like an advocate on when I'm actually teaching different people, because I teach people from all different denominations and different religions that are just curious about Christianity in general. So instead, what I do is I focus on what we have in common, which is the 66 books. At least we have those in common, right? Then you have the other ones as well. But even they will say, and you can look this up, they will say that they're not divinely inspired. Like they never claim to be divinely inspired. They don't say like we received a vision from God and we wrote this. They're more like stories, and they consider them to be like extra things to learn from, but they're not really meant to be like divinely inspired. And, you know, Jesus and his disciples, they never quoted directly from them. So, you know, but I don't want to get into all that because that's not really the important part. But what I have to make very clear is what I believe as far as coming from the doctrines of, you know, Shinshenji and what we teach, it's different than any other Protestant church, like any other at all. And it's similar to the Catholic faith, but it's not the same. Okay. So that's why I want to preface it by saying that, because, and this is the thing, Tin, I'm afraid right now, after you told me everything that you said, I don't want anything that I tell you to make you doubt what's happening to your family, or I don't want to take away any joy that you have or any, you know, feelings that you have for them. Mm-hmm. Okay. So please just forgive me if anything like that happens. Please tell me if anything like that happens, and I'll try to explain it deeper. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Gosh, this is quite the disclaimer.
Yeah. We'll give you Instructor Aaron's number later.
You can take it up with him.
It could be a long lesson. And so that's why I'm just going to say it. And then later, if we want to expand on it, we can do that. Okay. But I'm just going to say basically what we believe. Okay. So praying for the dead, that's also something that's going to be included. Now, how do you justify all those people living before Jesus? How do they receive salvation? How does all the people that die without hearing about Jesus be able to receive salvation? The main reason that this comes up is because as a person of Shinshenji, what we're proclaiming is that you have to know the fulfillment of Revelation today in order to receive that salvation, because it's a part of God's testimony. It's a part of Jesus's teachings. And of course, that's how you receive salvation, by learning the teachings of God and Jesus, receiving salvation through faith and forgiveness. So people ask, well, what about all the people that die right now that have not learned this testimony? Are you saying that they haven't received salvation? Or what about all the people in the last 2,000 years when Revelation's been sealed and not fulfilled? Are you saying that they didn't receive salvation, right? All these things. So then we have to go and ask, okay, what happens in the afterlife, right? What actually happens? Not in detail, but as a big picture, what happens? So the Catholics believe that you don't go directly to either place. That's why they have purgatory. Now, the Protestants, they don't like that. They think that you go directly to heaven. And one of the things that they'll use is like the two people on the cross that were next to Jesus, when he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, the fallacy that comes from that is that Jesus didn't go to paradise or heaven that direct day. Because when he comes from the tomb, he says, do not hold on to me because I have not yet gone to my Father. So people are like, well, wait, he didn't go to heaven. So how could that person have gone to heaven? Right? When he says, today you'll be with me in paradise, this word today is very important. If you look at Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, there is a day, it says, referred to as today, quote unquote, today, a special day. So it's a name of a day. It's not the actual day. It's a name of a day called today. And it's the day of Sabbath. And it says, when that day today comes, everything will be complete. So on that day, that's when heaven and earth, you know, really are being offered, if you will. Now, the reason I say this is because if you look at Revelation, and please chime in anytime with any question or anything like that, okay? Sometimes I feel like I'm talking way too much. But in Revelation chapter 20, when you look at Revelation chapter 20, it's the last chapter of the work. There's 21 and 22, but that's actually an overview of God's kingdom, the holy city, New Jerusalem, and then what's being created here on earth. But in Revelation 20, there's the 1,000-year period. Before, during, and after the 1,000 years. So right before the 1,000 years, the dragon's captured. Then there's 1,000 years of the dragon being captured, right? And the work of healing the nations, the work of preaching the word, God's kingdom being created. But then there's an after the 1,000 years. And what happens after the 1,000 years? And this is very important for anyone that's like listening, and you know, for us here too, you have to really read what it says there to really believe in it. It says, at that time, there will be a judgment of the living and the dead. The living and the dead. The sea will give up the dead. Death and Hades will give up the dead. Whether great or small, everyone is judged according to the books. And the books it's talking about is the Bible itself. That's the law of God, right? Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 48, the very words that I speak will judge you. That's the law of God, right? You have Old Testament, Moses's law, you have Jesus's law, and the law of Revelation. That's the Bible. So we're judged according to the books of the Bible, according to what we have done. Did we believe in it? Did we learn it? Did we understand it? Did we have faith in it? Did we live according to it? Did we, you know, falter? Did we repent? Those types of things. And then it also says you have to have your name written in the book of life. And that's for another time. But what does it say? It says everyone, the living and the dead, are judged. Well, if the dead are already in heaven and hell,
yeah, they've been judged.
Why would God take them out of heaven, out of hell, judge them, and then put them back in heaven and back in hell? It just doesn't make any logical sense. It really doesn't, right? And that's because heaven is not some place that's a mystical place out in, you know, the spiritual world. Heaven was actually, it's something that God wants here on earth. In the time of the Garden of Eden, Adam was living with God. It says that God was walking among the garden. So what is heaven? What makes heaven heaven? The one most important thing that makes heaven heaven.
Oh, we've only said this like 50 times on the podcast. Yeah. Yes, Tina, go ahead.
Where God dwells.
That's it, right? It doesn't matter how beautiful or where it is. If God's not there, it's not heaven. But if God is there, it doesn't matter where it is. That would be heaven because you're with God, right? So in the time of the Garden of Eden, there's God with Adam. And Adam had the right to eat from the tree of life. So he would have physically lived forever, right? Eat the tree of life, he lived forever. He would have physically lived forever in paradise, the Garden of Eden, with God and all the spirits, all the angels together, the spiritual world, the physical world together in the Garden of Eden. And that was heaven on earth. But then because of what happened, you know, the split, of course, sin, God's been working to recreate. But what does God ultimately desire? He wants it to be recreated. That's why Revelation is about recreation, a new heaven and a new earth, not physical, right? Not the planet blowing up, but God's heaven and earth here. And so what does it say in Revelation 21? That the holy city, New Jerusalem, which is the spiritual heaven, right? The spiritual kingdom, it comes down out of heaven to become one with the people of God. He says, now I will dwell with man forever, right? So that happens after, you know, complete after the 1,000 years, when everything is destroyed, like all the evil is wiped out. Satan has been completely destroyed, because that's what you find in Revelation 20, right before the judgment, right? Right before the judgment, Satan is released for a period of time. And that's to really make a distinction between those that want to be with God and those that don't. The ones that don't want to be with God at that moment, Satan's going to, you know, join with them, and they're going to actively try to destroy God's kingdom. But fire comes down from heaven and completely wipes them out, meaning their flesh is destroyed, but their spirit still remains. So they're going to be judged along with all the rest of the dead that has existed for 6,000 years.
Wow.
Now, how can those people actually receive salvation? Well, when you look at 1 Peter, and it's very important, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 21, or 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says that Jesus went to the spirits that were in prison, that had disobeyed long ago during the time of the flood, and he preached to them. He taught them the word. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, this is why the gospel was preached to those that are dead. Now, many people think that it says that they were preached and then they died, but that doesn't fit with 1 Peter chapter 3, which he actually goes and speaks to them and preaches to them. Why else would he go there, right? Why else would he go to the spirits in prison and what, say, ha ha, you lost? You know, I mean, that's not a righteous thing to do, right? So what does he do? He gives them an opportunity to also receive forgiveness by faith in Jesus. He goes to the spirits in prison and he says, I am the Son of God. I have died for the sins of the world, everything that we learn. And they, if they choose to accept it, they have that same repentance that we have. Now, the Protestant churches don't like this because they want people to believe today. They want people to believe when they're alive because, you know, it's not good for the churches, right? I mean, money-wise, it's not good for them. You know, people don't have to go, right? But there's more to it than that. There's a reason why you want to believe when you're alive. One, you don't know when Jesus is coming back. And if you believe while you're alive and Jesus comes back, there's a very immense blessing that actually comes as a result of that. But the other reason is, if you are a disobedient or arrogant person in this life, your spirit is arrogant as well. It's not just the flesh. It's your spirit that's arrogant. And when you die, there's no guarantee that you're going to just accept it. Now, many people will say, well, why wouldn't you? I mean, you're dead, right? You see all the stuff, you know,
yes.
You're not, right?
Yes.
Right? But then think about this. Adam saw that stuff, didn't he? He talked with God and he still betrayed. Satan worked with God and he still betrayed. The people during the time of Moses, they saw all the miracles, and within 40 days they betrayed. They totally cast away God. I mean, so there's no guarantee that just because you see these things that you'll accept it. So you want to do it now. You want to have a humble and faithful heart now. So what happens to the people in the afterlife? They're in this place, what's called like a waiting period. Now, it's similar to what you could think of as purgatory, but it's not a place that you work off your sins. There's no working off your sins in that sense. If anything, it's a place where you learn off your sins. It's a place where you learn the word. And this is why anybody that dies in any place in the world that has never heard of Jesus in the afterlife, they will have an opportunity. The truth will be given to them. So far, what do you guys think so far?
I mean, because this question has come up before, you know, and it's asked in many Christian circles and even outside. Well, what about the people who never heard the gospel? They live in super remote areas. They don't have internet. They are born in a certain country where they mm-hmm. don't have an opportunity in the culture, like all that mm-hmm. stuff. I mean, this answer of this is how everyone gets a chance to hear it is very satisfying, isn't it?
Yes, that's the word. That's the perfect word for it. It's satisfying.
It's actually biblical. It's not that I want it to be this way. It's just the logic of what happened. Jesus died on the cross. He went to preach to those in prison. Why else do you preach? What is the purpose of preaching? It's to help them to believe. So all the people that existed before him. And then today, all the people that need to learn the word of revelation, because that solves that problem too. Okay, well, you're telling me that if I haven't learned the parables or figurative language and I haven't learned revelation and I die today, then what? You'll learn. You'll learn. And so when you talk about praying for the dead, we also feel that that's actually not a negative thing to do, because if our loved ones are in the afterlife, I pray for them that they have an accepting heart. I pray for them that they listen to the word, that they accept the truth that's being proclaimed and receive forgiveness as a result of it. So I pray for all those that you know, I've lost, and I ask them, and yes, your husband is 100% right. We have no power whatsoever to save anyone, but the person that's, or the entity, I should say, that's listening to us does. It's not that we have power in our prayers. It's the one that listens that has that power. And if we offer that prayer, it moves the hearts of the heavens. It just, why would he not try to help, right? Why would he not put more effort to help these, you know, our loved ones? And really, it just shows also, even if it doesn't make any difference, at least it shows that we have faith in God, that this is what we desire. We're showing God that even this little aspect of this part of our faith, that we believe that this is what we desire, and we believe that God can offer that. That's our spiritual act of worship, as it's called, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we give ourselves as a living sacrifice, our spiritual act of worship. We don't slaughter animals and things like that anymore, right? I'm so thankful, right? I don't want to do that. But what do we do instead? You know, the incense that we offer is our prayers, right? Our sacrifices is our prayers and our worship. And that's why prayers are important. It's not that we have the power to change things, and it's not that God doesn't already know what it is that we, you know, need, but we're showing him that we believe in him by actively praying. It's one of the things that we can do as an action to show God that we do believe. More than just from our heart, we're literally showing him. And praying is not always easy. You know, I get down on my knees and I pray with my hands on the ground. Prayer for me is really important because it's a humbling experience. You know, and it's not always easy for me too. Sometimes I have difficult times praying. I don't feel as connected, but that's when I try to pray even more, because obviously something's blocking, right? You know,
because right? Yeah, this is the first time I've heard an explanation that I can ride with. Does that make sense?
Come on, ride with me.
No, because it's like the different versions I've heard, they're always holes, right? But how about this? Or but how about them? Or but how about them? But this one, there are no holes. It's sound.
Oh,
and I can get with that. That is an explanation I can definitely get with. Yes.
Yeah. It's just so hard for me to get past that part, though, where I can't believe that people, I guess when, you know, they're still living in the world, yes, I can see how they would doubt the spiritual stuff, God, Bible, and all those things. And I just feel like, well, but once you die and actually go to the spiritual world and you see that, oh my goodness, this is all real. This is real.
Right.
Then you would, you know, then you would like definitely open up your heart and believe the stuff. But you're right. I mean, you know,
and Satan, I hope so. I really do. I really, that's, I don't understand why they wouldn't. I mean, I really don't, you know, I really, really don't. But I also don't understand why after the 1,000 years, you know, when God has been creating his kingdom here on this earth for 1,000 years, why there's still so many people that actively want to try to destroy it at that time. You know, when you realize what's going to happen, you know, regardless if you believe it or not, it still happens. You know, just because you don't believe it, it's not going to stop God from, you know what I mean? So that's the scary part. Yeah.
So, Instructor Aaron, because you said that at the end of all of this, when everything fulfills, really God's plan, and this has been from the beginning, was for the spiritual world to be one here in the physical world.
On earth,
yes. God wanted to dwell here. The heaven that we talk about was actually supposed to be a place here. That song was right. Heaven is a place.
I know, right? Yes.
What? So when that actually happens, then the spirits who are there are going to be dwelling here with us. Will we be able to see them? Like, are we going to be interacting with them? I mean, does the Bible say anything about that?
I mean, if you are able to be one with the spirit, then yes, there's actually a couple of like precedents. For example, one, Adam could see God, right? I mean, that's one. So God is an actual entity. He has a form, you know, that it was able to be seen. There's another story in like, I think it's 2 Kings 18. I think it's I can never remember Elisha or Elijah. I think it's Elisha though, but they're at this battle and the person that's with him is really scared because there's all these people that are going to destroy them. And he says, don't worry about it. The ones that are with us are greater than the ones that are with them. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then he prays and he asks to open his eyes. And then he saw the hills filled with all the spirits of heaven. So when given the spiritual eyes to see, yes, when we're one with the spirit of God, then we will be able to see spirits.
Oh my gosh.
Our family, our friends and things of that nature too. That's if they, you know, of course, because there's the resurrection that happens. It's the resurrection of, you know, the righteous and the unrighteous. Unfortunately, like when you look at like John chapter 5, it says a time is coming and has now come, meaning it happened at the first coming and it's going to happen again at the second coming. So a time is coming when all those that are in their graves will come out, right? Those that hear the voice of the Son of God, they will rise to live. But those that did evil will rise to be condemned. Well, at the time of the first coming, the grave itself, it's not a literal grave. It wasn't literal dead people all rising from the dead. The graves, he calls the Pharisees, the scribes, he says, you guys are like whitewashed tombs.
Yeah.
Right? You're beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of dead man's bones. It's actually the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37, Valley of Dry Bones. So at that time, Jesus preached the word to all those that were spiritually dead, and their spirits were being resurrected. And they were coming out of the quote unquote spiritual tombs, which is all the false organizations, the places where it's just death. I mean, Satan dwells there. There's nothing but lies. And the same thing will happen in the time of the second coming. Now, those people that actually are resurrected at the very end, that's when the full resurrection happens. There's a thing called the first resurrection. And the first resurrection. And this, again, why would there be a resurrection? If they're already in heaven, why bring them here? You know, isn't heaven better, right? unless heaven becomes here, right? So the first resurrection, that's actually reserved for what's called the martyrs, those that gave their lives. They were killed for God, right? There's this specific group of people. Who they are, I can't say exactly who is and who is not a martyr, besides like the 12 disciples for sure, right? Those for sure, the ones that actually died in horrific ways. And we know that they are being used to create the holy city, New Jerusalem. The spirits of the martyrs are being used for that purpose. So they're not literally in heaven. They're creating the spiritual kingdom of heaven. It's called the holy city, New Jerusalem. If you look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, it talks about the fifth seal that's opened. And when the fifth seal is opened, it says he heard the souls of the martyrs, or the spirits of the martyrs, under the altar calling out, how long do we have to wait, sovereign Lord, for that judgment, for our redemption? You know, those people that killed us, when are you going to pay him back? And that he says, you got to wait a little longer, because that actually happens in Revelation 18, 19, and 20. That's when the actual judgment comes. But they're under the altar. It doesn't say that they're, you know, floating around with butterflies and things like that in heaven. They're actually, you know, under the altar. The altar is where the sacrifice was. It's before God's throne. But they're being created into the spiritual kingdom, like living stones, it says. So their flesh died, right? Their flesh died, but their spirits were taken and they were created into what's called the holy city, New Jerusalem. But that's the spiritual realm. And just like you said, Sam, that's not what God wants. He doesn't want a split between his physical creation and the spiritual creation. Remember, because God created both. He wants them to be together. That was the whole point, the purpose. And he's not going to stop working until that time comes. And when that time comes, that's when the real Sabbath rest will come. So the first resurrection, that happens during the thousand-year period, the beginning part of the thousand-year period, the spirits and the flesh become one, and together they heal the world for 1,000 years. Then it says the rest of the dead came to life after the 1,000 years. The rest of the dead, that's all the people that just died, whether they died, you know, at any time in history, and they learned the word of truth, and either they accepted or rejected. But after the 1,000 years, that's when the judgment happens. And then people are raised to either life or condemnation.
So if we're around to see this heaven dwelling here in the physical world, the spirits that make it to the physical world would be the ones who make it to heaven then, right?
Yeah.
Because if this is heaven, then exactly. Obviously, because there's going to be, you know, spirits that are going to reject this. And so then that would mean that they're not going to be in heaven. So they wouldn't be here. Like, then we won't be able to see them.
And in the end, it will only be what belongs to God that exists in this world. And so when people ask, why has God taken so long? And why didn't he just destroy Satan right away? That's the reason. Because in the end, there's going to be a creation that never, never again betrays God. It'll be an eternal creation that is dwelling with God forever. That's the ultimate blessing. And this is the kicker. Okay. Now this is the part that really.
There's a kicker. I mean, this has been a kicker.
This is why you want to believe when you're alive. Because if you happen to be alive at that time, which we're saying is now, you have the opportunity to be physically alive throughout that entire 1,000-year period and beyond. Your physical body changes and you become a spiritual creation and you never die. Now that's something that people freak out when they hear, right? This is eternal life.
Yeah.
But if you look at all the scriptures, you know, for example, Jesus in John 11, 25 and 26, he says, I am the resurrection and the life, right? He who believes in me and dies will live again. Okay. That sounds normal, right? I mean, if you're a Christian, you can believe that, right? But then he says, and he who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He splits it. You die and you'll live again, or you live and you never die. So there has to be a time when that happens, right? If you think about it, what is death? Death came as a result of sin, right? James chapter 1, 15, right? The desire gives birth to sin. Sin, when fully grown, gives birth to death, right? Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. So if there's no sin, then why should there be death? Right? And then when you look at like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we talked about Paul, the last trumpet. He says, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. When he's talking about sleep at that time, if you look at the earlier chapters, it's talking about those that fell asleep in the Lord, they died. So he's saying we will not all die, but we will all change. The perishable must become imperishable.
Perishable.
Yeah. The mortal, immortal. Right? So if you died, then your spirit will come back as immortal. But if you live at that time, your physical body will be changed into a spiritual body, just like Jesus's body. You know, think about Jesus's body before and after. He became a glorified body, right? He became a glorified body where he walked through walls even at that point. And then he was taken up into heaven. He became that spiritual body. So in Revelation 1, when you see him, he doesn't look the same, right? You know, face shining like the sun.
Sword coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, so he's a spiritual being at that point. Right? He's a spiritual being. And it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15 as well, it says that he was the first fruits of that kind of a change. And just as we've taken on the image of the sinful man, we will also take on the image of, you know, of the non-sinful, of the righteous man, which was Jesus. So if that's the real doctrine of Shinshonji, that right now, the people that are learning this truth, that are physically alive, when that first resurrection takes place, when the spiritual marriage in Revelation 19 and the first resurrection takes place in 20, those people, the 144,000 and the great multitude, I want to be very clear on that, right? Not just the 144,000, but the great multitude as well. They all have the opportunity to receive, you know, salvation and eternal life in the flesh.
In the flesh.
In the flesh. Yeah.
But also to clarify, what Shincheonji is proclaiming, though, is if you learn the word that is coming out of Shincheonji, right?
Yeah. Because that's learning the truth, which is eating from the tree of life. The tree represents first God, because God is the ultimate source of life, but then his pastor on this earth who is giving the word of life. So Jesus was the tree of life in the time of the first coming. And if you ate from his words, then your spirit lived, because it wasn't time for everything to be complete. But now in the time of the second coming, once again, it says, you know, in Revelation 2:7, it says, to the one who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. And then one of the blessings about going into the holy city, as you see in Revelation 22, the tree of life is there once again. So those that are dwelling here and are eating from the tree of life, meaning learning the word of truth, that's what keeps you alive, because the word and being connected with God. Imagine it like your cell phone. Okay, when your cell phone is unplugged, the battery is eventually going to die. Yeah, I know, right? But if you plug in your cell phone, it's
charging.
Yeah, it's charged. It's you know, connected to the power source. If God is the source of life and we are literally connected to him, then yeah. So like you said, it's a matter of learning the truth, because if you have any lies within you, then that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that's why we say everyone has to just learn the ultimate truth. And if now's the time that truth is being spoken, then everyone should have that opportunity.
Okay.
That's a lot to take in.
Oh, a little overwhelmed, yeah. But in a good way.
Yeah. Overall, just processing. You know, kind of taking a moment. Yeah, we're buffering right now. Okay.
Those are some of the core doctrines of Shincheonji that makes it, well, in some ways have been persecuted as a result of that, you know, obviously, because it's pretty dramatic doctrines that'll be different than, you know, some. But I don't see why, because if God desires something to be alive, then doesn't he have the power to keep it alive?
Of course. He's the only one who can keep something alive. I mean, if he's the source of life, right? But okay, I mean, a lot has been said, but and I don't know if I really grasp every single thing, but it just in an overview manner, it seems to make sense to me, because you know, we've talked about on the podcast how, yes, when we see the story of Adam in the beginning, he's with God, as you said earlier, right? He's walking in the garden with God. So he could see God. He was there. But after his fall, you know, sin entered, which then means that we are, disconnected from God. And then that's how God now starts his salvation plan. And that's kind of the story that we see in the Bible up until the point of Revelation, where everything that you said about things being, you know,
recreated
and heaven coming down and all those things. And then that means that because we are then connected back with God, we're connected back to life. And if you happen to be physically alive at that time, then why would you die? Because there is no sin. So there's no death. So I never really quite put it together that way before, but I think logically that makes sense to me. And if God says that's the plan, then that's the plan. If that's what he wants to do, then that's what he's going to do.
It sounds pretty amazing.
I kind of like to stick to God's plan right now.
And if you think about it, I mean, God is a God of life, right? God's a God of life, not of death. So if he created something, why would he create something that, you know, that dies when he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have to? He can create something that, you know, lives. I kind of think about it like if you have a plant, you know, you got some plants behind you there, Tina, right? Are they real? Real plants?
Yes. Yeah. I just watered them too.
And you're keeping them alive, right? You're keeping them alive. Now, what's easier for you to just keep them alive, or if you let them die and then try to bring them back to life?
I was having a lot of thought about that, Instructor Aaron. You should see my urban jungle. It's hard to keep them all alive.
I love plants too. That's one of the things. I want plants everywhere in our house. I love them. You know, just the whole feel, the look, the everything. But then you think about God raised the dead, right? In the Old Testament, there's stories of God raising the dead. In the time of the first coming, Jesus raised the dead more than once. You know, Paul raised the dead from the boy Eutychus that falls out of the window by, you know, Paul puts him to sleep like I'm probably doing to you guys by talking too much, right? And then he falls out the window and then he brings him back to life. So again, what would be harder for God? To bring back people from the dead or just keep people living? And so, you know, the chairman, this is really kind of funny because you know how Jesus was asked questions certain times. They always tried to trap him. And he came up with some of the coolest answers, you know, like, do you pay taxes? You know, do you think that we should pay taxes? And he's like, whose picture is on the coin, right? Caesar's. All right, we'll give to Caesar what's Caesar's, right? Give to God what's God's, right? You know, it's like, it was really good. You can't really trap him in that. The same thing, when they're trying to always like persecute or trying to trap the chairman, they asked him, you know, do you really think that you're going to live forever? Because of course they want to use his answer against him. You know, either he's crazy or he's doubting the power of God, one of the two. And so his answer was, if God allows it. I mean, really, what can you say to that? Right. Either you don't believe in God that he has the power. So, okay. But if you're a believer in God, then can you go against that? I mean, you really can't, right? So that's what God's real plan is. He doesn't want death. But we have this, we have this mindset, and you've got to wonder, why are we so afraid to die if we're supposed to go to heaven? I mean,
my whole life, I've been afraid of the book of Revelation. I've never read it.
Same here.
I've never read it. I will now.
You'll be now. Surprised, Din. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like, you're going to enjoy it. Like, it used to scare the crap out of me, but now I'm fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you read it, just realize it's a vision. It's written as a parable to hide secrets. So the scary parts, the destruction, it all has an understanding. And knowing that God does not want to destroy the world or all the people, but wants people to know the truth in the end so we can be saved, and then you'll start to get a little bit more, you know, less scary, I'll put it that way. Yeah. Because it can be a scary book.
And that is what we're doing right now on the Road to Revelation series, is we're breaking down the parables, because the language in the book of Revelation is not literal. I think most Christians agree on that, but where we don't agree on is what does it mean, right? But you know, that's coming up on our next episode. Right now though, I want to thank Tin so much for joining us for this one. I remember, Tin, I think the first time we got to talking about our faith, because we had been working together for a few years at that time, and it was during the Christmas party at Magic.
I remember, yes.
Yeah, and you know, people were sitting around, music, partying, and Tin and I, if I remember correctly, we were sitting next to a ginormous lechon.
Yes, right? We were. I remember this so clearly, yes.
Yes, and then so we were sitting next to each other, and I was just, this was again the time when I was starting to share about my faith, and Tin and I got to talking, and it was about your boyfriend at the time. We were talking about how we really want to find like godly men, you know, because of our faith and all that. And now they're engaged, and Instructor Aaron actually called him husband.
Oh, he did. Yeah, you were, I even stopped for a minute. I was like, wait, I was second guessing. I'm like, wait, was it fiance or husband? I'm just going to throw out husband. She'll correct me if I'm wrong.
At this point, same.
We're on our way there anyway. Yeah. We're on our way. Sam, okay, sorry. Before we go, can I just share something that happened right after you and I talked the last time I was here? We were talking about purgatory, right? And I was like, what am I going to do? Do I still pray? What am I going to do? And maybe just a couple of hours after that guesting, I read the Bible. And let me try to find. Oh, darn it. Oh, here it is. Okay. So this is what I found. Literally just a couple of hours after we ended. A couple of hours after the 55-minute cry fest that you guys witnessed. Okay. I didn't search for this. This is literally what popped up, right? You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through this life? And it really felt like he saw me, he saw us talking, he saw my pain, and he answered me with this message.
Oh. Mm. Thank you for sharing that with the podcast, because I know you posted about it. I still remember.
I did, yes.
It's meant to be. Mm-hmm. She's back.
We've come a long way, girl.
Oh, we have.
So I've let you on. And now I'm sitting on this podcast. And I'm so happy for you because you are now engaged to this godly man. And oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So Tin, thanks so much again for joining us on this podcast. Guys, please catch her. Again, she's on Magic in the Mornings. She does the podcast called The Weak Sauce. And if you're into sports, go and watch NBA on Fire on the NBA YouTube channel. We got Healing Leaves with Instructor Erin.
I think you're missing another show. Tin, don't you go on The Boys too? No, we're not.
On Boys Night Out pala.
Yeah, Boys That's Night Out.
Boys show. Night. So you do morning and evening.
Yes, but only once a week. For Boys Night Out.
Wow.
Hey guys, sincerely, thank you for this conversation. I needed it.
Thank you.
I'll send you Instructor Erin's number in a bit, okay, mama?
I also want to say hi to Dorito Gabby, because she also sent in a message for, you know, Purgatory, and she's been so supportive of this podcast. She loves the new format now, Instructor Erin, with this testimony that we're sharing and everything. So Dorito Gabby, thank you. And I would just want to say hi to our friends over at Swatch Mega Mall, Mac, April, and Ems. Apparently they watch us on YouTube. So hi. Thank you, everybody. Right? Thank you. And we'll see you on the next episode, guys. The Narrow Door Podcast at gmail.com is our email address. Feel free to write in, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye.